Anthony Koutafidis, 278 games, 226 goals, a member of the 1995 Carlton Premiership team, B and F winner in 2001-2005. He led the club goal-kicking, not with all that many in 1997.
No, I think it was only about 28 or something from memory.
He skipped the team from 2004 to 2006 and was twice an All-Australian.
Well, look, I mean, everyone listening, I'm sure, remembers Kuta, and often described as the prototype of the modern footballer. But, you know, in reflection, I'm not sure that's right, because he remains a rare beast, just a man of enough height to play key position at either end of the ground, which he did frequently, but incredible athleticism and quick enough and agile enough to play either on the ball or on a wing, where he also played regularly. And, you know, we've got more players capable of doing that, but there's still virtually a handful. So, yeah, he was a rare breed indeed, Kuta. And that junior athletics background obviously was always a big factor in having that physical capacity. And it was interesting because it took him a couple of years to actually settle down into that Carlton side. I think he played a total of only about 8 or 9 games in his first 2 seasons after debuting. And then 1994 was the season it really clicked for him, and was part of that last Carlton Premiership side in 95, playing predominantly on the wing. And then, as you heard during that interview, moved on to the ball in about 1999 and really set a new standard with how he went about playing in the midfield. And a big occasion player too, and they spoke about that famous 1999 preliminary final. And more than anyone else in that Carlton side, he got them over the line that day. He just, well, as he said, he roved around the ground. He took some towering marks up forward, kicked 2 goals, and you know, led the Blues to one of their most famous wins. And I'm glad they talked about that thing about picking up the ball in one hand, because I think if anyone thinks of Kuta, and you could think of him in a range of poses, but I think the one everyone likes remembering most fondly is that one-handed pickup, and clearly a man with very large hands.
And it sort of set the precedent for the on-baller of the sort of dimensions that had previously been associated with a ruckman or a key position player. And football's almost been looking for that player ever since. I remember it was a sort of a millstone around the neck of Daniel Bandy.
Yeah.
a player who was of similar athletic prowess. Now, it's one thing to be able to leap tall buildings in a single bound as Kuta could. It's another thing to be able to play footy, because footy, it's not high jumping and it's not hurdling. It's a contact sport, and we should never forget the fact that he was a highly skilled footballer.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I think several, I don't know, maybe I could be wrong here, but one that leaps to mind for me is Kepler Bradley,
yep,
who Essendon took at number 6 in a draft, and based primarily on his athletic gifts rather than that football nous. And like I said before, it took Kuta a couple of years to actually find his feet in senior football, but when he did, boy, did he click. I did a bit of number crunching before, Finney, and over his 278 game, he had a triple-double 6 times, and on 6 occasions ending up with more than 10 or more kicks, marks and handballs. And I don't think there'd be too many players in the modern era who would end up with stats like that. And we're very lucky, Finney, because as we laud the man, here he appears before us for a chat.
Well, I've got to say, I was very fortunate in my time at SEN to be able to share a studio with Anthony Koutafidis. And we're going to say the same of Brad Johnson and probably the other players that come here. But if the bloke could never have high jumped, if he was just a mate of yours, if he couldn't kick a footy, you'd still spend an afternoon, you'd have a beer with Anthony Koutafidis, because he's an absolute sweetheart. Kuta, congratulations, mate.
Thanks, Ronnie and Rowan. Yeah, look, obviously a great privilege for me and honour to you know, be announced, you know, and inducted into the Hall of Fame. And it's something as a young kid never could have dreamed of. Just would have loved to have just played one AFL game. So this really tops it off for me. It over exceeds any dream that I could have imagined as a young kid.
It was a great speech you gave. I'm just interested, you got a little bit emotional
there.
What was going through your head that made you emotional at that moment?
My best mate, Sash. So as soon as I looked at him, I seen his head down. He tends to get emotional like me. We've grown up together and through good and bad, you know, times. But he's been one that has stuck with me for so long. So as soon as I seen him, I got emotional myself. I try to stay strong. And, you know, speaking about my father was difficult too. But, yeah, I wanted to say more about him, but I couldn't get it out. And some other mates there too, and Ange, I probably didn't express my feelings enough about Ange and what a wonderful teammate he was, and a brother too at the same time. And still to this day, we're just, you know, great friends and, you know, Greek brothers, as they used to call us.
We used to joke about how close you two were, perhaps inappropriately at times. But what was the connection, or what is the connection between you two?
Well, look, I was 16, went to the under-19s. Ange was the older than me. He was 17. We hit it off straight away. It must have been our, you know, ethnic backgrounds, I assume. We forever became good mates from there. He lived close to the Carlton Football Club. I spent a lot of time in his mum and dad's house. And, you know, they really embraced me into the family and that too, like my parents did with Ange. And we travelled a lot overseas together, and we did, you know, we hit the nightclubs together and you know, drank together and on a lot of occasions. So we just hit it off as good mates, and we still are to this day. And I'm married with three kids. Ange is not. So we've gone a little bit different paths, but just a good-hearted man, Ange.
Really, I still see him quite frequently sitting outside a little cafe in Rathdown Street, yeah. Sipping coffee. He still lives the lifestyle, doesn't he?
Mate, he lives a life like no other, Ange. And I don't know what he does for work. Don't ask him. I think he's been retired now for a long, long time.
So. He's got some businesses in Greece. He goes
no,
back
he
there.
He did, yeah. Not
and,
now.
No. But and your mum, fantastic story, your mum, because I met your mum a couple of times at the football. It's easy to say she was there to watch her boy play football, but you're right. She's a very keen Carlton supporter, yeah. And will not hear a bad word about the Carlton Football Club or about anybody that pulls on a Carlton jumper.
Spot on, Finny. So even this day and age, she'll go to more games than myself and watch it more closely than what
really?
I do and give me, her views at the end of the game. She doesn't want to hear negativity. She just wants to hear positive things about the club, and she still adores the club. And I think the hardest day for her was when I finally said to her, look, I'm going to retire, Mum. And I don't know if she was really ready for it, although deep down inside, she probably knew it was my time was up too. But, you know, as a mum and watching me grow and, you know, seeing me play in all those years. And in 95, I remember being on the bus after we won the premiership, and we were about to head down to Optus Oval, and there was two people that stood outside. It was my mum and dad. They were like little groupies, you know, just supporters. And I turned around to all my teammates and said, just give them a wave, please. And they were just the proudest parents in the world. So, you know, my mum went through difficult times and lost both her parents by the age of 22, so really was out in Australia on her own. And I met my father, and so she's a pretty tough lady, you know, and she instilled a lot of great values into me, and level-headed. So if I ever got a bit big-headed, she was the first one to tell me, and I still take that to this day.
When you rocked up at the Carlton Football Club, had you ever heard of David Mackay? Number 43 is not the most fashionable jumper going around, but actually at Carlton, it was worn by Swan was a champion.
Yeah, absolutely, and a gentleman too at the same time. I didn't realise when I got the number 43. To me, 43 was... My mum was born in 1943, so I kept that number for that reason. And when the club asked me if I wanted to lower my number, I said no for that reason. So I almost played for the honour of my mum, but then found out about Swan Mackay and what a wonderful player he was too. As I told him not long ago when I seen him, I said, I just got over the line and just beat your AFL record with the number 43 Guernsey by maybe 10 games or so. But he reminds me that he kicked more goals than me. So it was just a really good number, isn't it? It's just wide and big. I don't know whatever it was, but I'm just grateful. I'm so happy that I did keep it.
And I don't know whether it's Swan and your legacy, but Simon White, after a really tough football journey, geez, playing well at the moment, so it's living on well.
Yeah, it is. Look, he's had a tough, obviously, I mean, the club hasn't been playing great footy lately too, but he's hard and tough. He gives it everything that he possibly can. He's had a few setbacks with injuries, but, you know, he wears it with pride. It's not his fault, you know, he gets the number 43. And he just goes out there and just play footy.
Just want to take you back to the start of your senior career. We were just talking before about how you debuted in 92, but your first two seasons only played about, eight or nine senior games. In 1994, when the club was still, you know, the club finished on top of the ladder that year and lost both finals, but you played 22 games that year. Something really clicked. Do you remember any one specific thing that made that big a difference?
Yeah, 91 I was on the list. I couldn't get a game. 92 I was emergency six or seven times before they finally picked me. I played six games that year. Then eight games in 93. I had an injury throughout that year. 94, played most of the first half of the season and got dropped for 2 weeks, and then David Parkin played me on the wing. As soon as he played me on the wing, I never looked back. That was it. So in a position that I loved. Now, as a guy coming through, I was played half forward, half back, back pocket, full back, you know, like you name it. And I played it. So I really wasn't settled as a player. And mentally, I think it affected me. Anthony Stewart, who was a sports psychologist who David Parkin sent me to, he had a major impact in my life as well. So just that mental aspect of it, and you know, the little things that he tweaked on me, that I started to get that belief back into me again, which I probably didn't get from David Parkin early on. He probably didn't understand me. I think I needed someone to believe in me in order for me to then go out and play good footy. And Parko's just a wonderful man now who, you know, I adore seeing him every time and shaking hands and talking old stories with him.
Let's get a bit technical here. Why did you find playing on a wing so much easier than half forward or half back?
Just, I think I could play my natural game there. I like being around the ball. I didn't like waiting for the ball. And I think then when I did play there, I could just run around and do whatever I wanted. If I needed to run defence, I could. If I needed to go in the forward line, I could. Started kicking goals again. And I started using my, you know, jumping ability to take marks. And I just was able to get confidence. And once I got confidence, you know, I could then, you know, play the game the way that I wanted to play it.
Kuda, we were actually mentioning just before you stepped in, I think it's a bit of a throwaway line and doesn't really go to the heart of Anthony Koutafidis describing you as, when you were playing, the new prototype of the modern footballer. Athletic, can play any position, 6'3", can run, can jump. As though your God-given gifts of athleticism were enough to make you a great footballer. Were you ever a little bit peeved by the fact that people talked about you as the athlete and not as the footballer? Because as we pointed out, plenty of athletes have come and gone since. Yeah. Daniel Bandy, we mentioned, Kepler Bradley. I think of Reece Stanley in the modern game.
Yeah. Even finding myself, you know, we were
beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a pair of Adonises, yeah, or Adonai. But yeah. But seriously, I just think it misses the point, saying that you're an athlete. You were an athlete, but you were a bloody good footballer.
Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed with that. The perception was I probably started footy in a later stage of my life and I was more of an athlete than a footballer. But, I represented Victoria in the under-15s, you know, in football. I represented Vic Metro under-17s, made the All-Australian under-17s too. So I came in as a footballer also. It just took me a little bit of time to get that belief and confidence, I think, and for the club to understand me too in the way that I could play football. In 1992, you know, I was playing a full-back in the reserves and won a best and fairest from full-back. But, you know, I play senior footy and I'm in the half-forward flank, so I had to adapt to all different positions. And I was like a bit of a patch-up man too. If they needed me somewhere, they almost put me there. So I sacrificed a lot of my game, you know, in order to help the team and the club. And I was more than happy to do that, you know. And that was one thing that I always prided myself on. Wherever the coach wanted me to play, I never complained. I just went out there and played. And if I couldn't play my best footy, it was because maybe I was out of position.
Mm. Now, Koutafidis, that's a good enough name as it is, but does anybody ever lean out of the car window and yell out, "Kuda Fida Meadies"?
Oh, yeah, do they ever?
That's right. As Rex asked.
Thanks, Rex. Yeah. Cut off that yet?
That's right. Rexy was the man. Yeah, I often get people saying that all the time. But look, you know what? I obviously, this is my seventh year that I've retired, but I still get, you know, supporters out there and people always recognise me. And it's just so, you know, humbling to see that occur still after so many years. And you know, the supporters, the Carlton supporters, were always wonderful to me and the Carlton club itself. And I've been blessed, you know, really in life. And when I look back, and I've got so much more life to live, and I'm going to live that, you know. But that this part of my life, the football part, is something that I can take with me forever.
Jeez, it goes quick, doesn't it?
It
when
does.
You just said it's been 7 years, I can't believe it's been 7 years. But on that theme, 1995, you know, it's almost 20 years ago since Carlton won their last flag. But what an amazing year that was. And you had a side that was beaten in a grand final and then finished on top and went out in straight sets. Mm. And I remember at the end of 94, a lot of people saying, you know, that's it for the Blues. And then you've come back and had this amazing year where you've won 23 out of 25 games and steamrolled your way through the preliminary and grand finals. What was it about that side that was so special?
The start of that year, I know that, like what you said, Ron, the media reports were saying that we were too old and too slow and we wouldn't win it. And we knew we had some ageing superstar players at our football club, you know, your Kernahans and, Bradley went on to play more years, you know, Greg Williams, Justin Madden, Milhanna, you know, Earl Sporting, Peter Dean. These guys were starting to age and we only had that limited opportunity to be able to win that premiership. For that year, for whatever reason, we had some great younger players, mid-tier and the oldies all came together, and we all had that one vision and one goal to go and win that premiership. And it started from pre-season. I don't even think we won a pre-season game. But, you know, the leaders got some more leadership duties from David Park, and he handed over a lot of the duties to us as leaders, or Stephen Kernan and the leaders there. And we went through that entire year only losing to the two bottom teams, which was Sydney and St Kilda. Yeah. Bizarre to think of, because after that you would have thought maybe we could have, if it, you know, potentially faded away. If it happened in this day and age, we'd go, are they in trouble? For whatever reason, after that, we bounced back and never looked back. Even if we're behind at half time, we still knew we could go out there and win the game. And that's what we did. And the toughest game for us that year was that first week against Brisbane Bears, as they were known back then. And it was a close tussle.
We
only won by 16 points. Yeah. And, you know, I think I kicked three goals in the last, and Kernan did, because I was getting tagged while Chris Scott couldn't get a kick. Went to full forward and kicked three. And then, you know, North Melbourne we thrashed. And then Geelong, really, the game was over by half time.
Yeah.
Kuta, congratulations. You're part of the Australian Football Hall of Fame. And I reckon every other of the 256 members, as it will be by the end of tonight, will be rapt to have you in there, because it really does mean that the modern era has been embraced, because you are very much a modern footballer who would be a superstar today as you were when you gave it up 7 years ago. Just very quickly, the name Kuta, you should definitely trademark it. Yeah. There's a business now, isn't there?
Yeah, I got the Kuta Fit Club.
Yeah, the
healthy, active lifestyle. Yeah, I'm loving it.
You need to get that out on social media more, Kuta.
I just don't do enough, do I, right? Every day there's something about it. So just tune off.
You're an absolute champion.
I love it.
Kuta,
thank you, guys.
Couldn't be happier. And our listeners, and our all the fans out there, from a North supporter, Kuta was a bloody superstar. That says it all.
Yeah, I
opposition fans love you.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks.